Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Please stay tuned and worship with us on this Lord's Day. Life is not easy. However, it can be beautiful, exciting, and challenging, but only in the proportion to our making the right decisions. How then do we make these decisions? We'll discuss this in the sermon today. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 39. And he came out and went as was his custom to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, "Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down upon the ground. And when he arose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, that you may not enter into temptation." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Shame and reproach gladly.
Friends in Christ, it was on Mount Horeb that God spoke to Moses these words, "Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." Haven't you experienced what it is to stand on holy ground? I think of several places where I have been where I simply did not want to talk. I felt like I stood on holy ground. One of these is a visit to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Arlington Cemetery in Virginia. This is always an emotional experience for me, for as I stand there and I notice that the crowd is now whispering, I realize the tremendous sacrifice that thousands and thousands of people have made in order that I can live in this land and enjoy the freedom which is mine. That's holy ground. When I stand at Plymouth Rock and think of what happened in those early days when our founding fathers came to these shores, I feel like I stand on holy ground. What it must have been for them on that day, I can never quite imagine. But there must have been a great challenge. However, they knew that there was a big price that had to be paid if this place would be the land of the free. How easy it would have been for them to have said, "This is too great a challenge. We will return to our native land." This, for me, is holy ground. The third place, and without a doubt the most holy place that I have ever visited, is the Garden of Gethsemane. This beautiful garden is located on the slopes of the Mount of Olives, overlooking the old city of Jerusalem. There was no need for the people to hang a sign, "Quiet, please," for even the most rebellious visitor automatically stops talking, and all is quiet. It was at this spot that Jesus knelt to pray. He was only 33 years old, and the cross was before him. Who wants to die at 33? And who wants to die via the cross, the agony, the pain that went along with it? So Jesus walks into the garden with 11 of the 12 disciples, Judas having departed. But then he takes these three disciples with whom he had shared some of the most intimate experiences in his life, Peter, James, and John, and went into the inner garden, and there he began to pray. Now, all that we know about this prayer is that he did pray, "Father, if it be possible, remove this cup from me. However, not my will, but thine be done." However, I believe that there was more to the prayer than this, and if we page through the Gospels, we can construct some other petitions that must have been in that prayer. I believe that it was there that Jesus was faced with the hard decision. Shall I go on, or shall I turn back? Could he not have also said, "Father, I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of you who has sent me. But now, Father, my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Shall I say, 'Father, save me from this hour'? No, I can't do that. For this purpose I have come to this hour. Not my will, Father, but thine be done." The hard decision of life was before him. He knew the will of his Father. At that particular moment, he faced the harder decision, "Shall I do it?" It is not always easy for us to know the will of God, but often we do. It is then extremely difficult to do it. here in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see our Lord making the hard decision. Obviously, he could have turned back, and the temptation at that hour was great. He could have thought back to his hometown of Nazareth, how the people there threw him out of the town, how they ridiculed him. He could have thought of those hours when people would have had nothing to do with him, where they sought to kill him, where even when he did good, they were anxious to get rid of him. He could well have said, "Father, it simply is not worth it. I am bowing out at this particular time in my mission." But notice where he is. In that hour of temptation, Jesus is with his closest friends in the garden with his Father praying. There's a lot that we can learn from this particular event in the life of our Lord. Let me give you three particular lessons that's good for all of us to hear. First, life confronts us with some big decisions which must be made. We like to escape those decisions. It is easy for us to be indecisive people, but we cannot go on that way. These decisions ultimately have got to be faced if there is any meaning in our lives at all. I also have to know that the decisions that I make will affect my life and perhaps the life of many other people. So it was with our Lord. Had he made the decision to turn back, there would have been no redemption for the sins of the world. My relationship with God often makes these decisions very hard for me to make. For I must not only consider my own will and what might be easiest for me at the time, but as a child of God, committed to him, I must seek out to know what is the will of God in this particular case, and then somehow, some way, become empowered to do that will. I think of this so often when I visit with some of our youth. And the longer that I'm with them, the bigger my heart is for them. For they face some difficult temptations, and there are many hard decisions which have to be made. That has been true with youth from the very beginning, and it is just as true today. For example, a young person has to ask the question, how important is it for me to have the acceptance of the crowd? The answer to that question affects the life not only of the youth, but it affects the life of his family. Now, if you are a Christian youth, if Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord, then that young man or woman has got to ask, what is the will of God in this whole matter for me? It is not very difficult at times to find out what the will of God is in the problems which confront them. But then here is a question, where will I have power to be able to resist the cries of my peers? Come on, join us. That's a hard decision for many of our youth. But there are decisions for many of the rest of us in our homes as we grow older. How important is it for us in our homes to have a good, strong, devotional life? Our answer to that question affects not only our own spiritual life, but it affects the lives of those who are around us. It affects our children, our own children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, our friends. If in my home there is a strong devotional life, which includes anybody who comes along and shares life in our home, it affects what they think, what they say, and what they do. Now you say, well, that's not a very hard decision to know what to do about a devotional life in our home. We all know what the will of God is regarding a devotional life in the family. But is it not true, friend, that in all too many cases, here we have been very indecisive? And by our indecisiveness, so that we do not have a family devotion, we have said, as fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, we really don't need God in our family. We have made the decision. And that decision is affecting hundreds and thousands of people around the nation this day. We have to make the hard decisions. Life confronts us with the difficult problems. The second point that I would make is then, where do we go for help in making these decisions? And here we have before us today that obvious answer, we go to our God. Where did Jesus go? He took his closest friends and he went to a quiet place where he had come often, and there he prayed. When I make the big decisions of my life, I generally want to have my closest relatives or friends around. Often I can confess that I leave it there. There is a weakness. Jesus took his friends. He was surrounded with them. They really were not too faithful. They fell asleep. But he had them with him. But he made the next step, and that was to stand in the presence of his Father and cry out, O God, if it is possible, remove this difficulty from me, but not my will, rather yours be done. Jesus knew the will of his Father. Now he was asking for grace and strength to do it. The decisions which we make on our knees are usually the right ones. Here on our knees, we may not get the easy answer. Often it will be the most difficult answer. But here we will find our peace. Jesus went into the garden in the dark. He came out in the light. He went into the garden in agony. He came out with the victory won. The Garden of Gethsemane was a turning point, for now his face was towards the cross, where he would accomplish the mission which God had sent him to perform. Not in such a great way, obviously, for nothing can compare to the redemption of a human being. But many have followed in that same way. It was Abraham Lincoln who said, I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. But thirdly, my friend, all of this will not happen unless we are in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we go to Christ for help with the big decisions, we have to be in a personal relationship with God. And this comes only when Jesus Christ has been received into our lives. Then we walk with him, then he speaks to us daily in his word, and we have our conversation with him, bringing everything to him. So the question today is this: how personal is your relationship with God? Are you a member of the church? Then probably that will not just force you to your knees. But are you in that relationship with God so that you can bring anything to him? The God that Jesus Christ knew in the garden was not the man upstairs. He was not the higher power. He was not, as some call him, Big Ernie. This was his Father. This is our Father who has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. He is the one who hears us when we enter into our gardens of Gethsemane. Life is not always easy. However, it can be beautiful, exciting, and challenging. But it will be exciting, beautiful, and challenging only in relationship to our making the right decisions. Jesus needed help with his decision, and so he turned to his Father. So do we need help. The risen Savior, who once walked in our shoes, stands ready to help us. Turn to him when you have to make the big decisions. Amen. Jesus, we do return our thanks to you that you have walked in our shoes, that you have had to make decisions far greater than we will ever be called upon to make. And therefore, you know sometimes the trials that are within us. Lord, we pray that we may enter into that personal relationship with you in such a way that we may come to you under all conditions, with our cares and our burdens. We know, Lord, that there are many this day who listen to this program whose hearts are heavy. Draw them to you, Lord Jesus, that they may experience that peace of knowing that as they walk with you according to your will, there will be joy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You are tuned to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We are pleased to have you worshiping with us this day and hope you will tune in every Sunday on the same station and hear Pastor Larson. We are thankful that Pastor Larson's sermons can reach such a widespread audience, but response from you, the listener, is very important to Christian Crusaders. Your gifts are needed and appreciated. Support for this radio ministry is through friends like you. Therefore, it's important that we know you are a part of Christian Crusaders Radio Congregation on this station. The address is Christian Crusaders, Box 451, Waterloo, Iowa 50704. Cassette tape copies of today's service are now available. The cassette tapes are being offered free. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. And printed copies of the sermons heard on these broadcasts are also available for the asking. The address is Christian Crusaders, Box 451, Waterloo, Iowa. Christian Crusaders, Box 451, Waterloo, Iowa, 50704. Conducting the service today, as on every Sunday, was the Reverend Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders.